My name is John Walden. I'd like to welcome you to our Bible study. And if you have your Bible handy, open it to the fourth chapter of Ephesians. We have reached the halfway point now in the book of Ephesians. The first three chapters have to do with all that God has done for us, all of the blessings that we have in the Lord Jesus, all of His kindness and goodness to us. The last three chapters are the practical side of Ephesians, telling us how we ought to live to please Him. Someone has said, Ephesians begins in the heavenlies and ends in the kitchen. A very practical way of living out what the Lord has done for us and what He has told us about in the first three chapters. Now it begins, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Therefore attaches us to what has already been said. All of the things that God has done. This is why He says that I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. I beseech, not command. Beseech means I beg of you. The law demanded certain things, but grace gives us all that God has and then says, now I beg of you, show your appreciation, live in such a way that will show that you do value what has been done and that you do appreciate it. Our vocation here in verse 1 is our calling. We are called to salvation, and as the apostles were, they were also called to serve. We're called saints. We're called to suffer, Peter tells us. This is our calling as Christians. It's a high calling in Christ Jesus. We're to do this with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Now, He wants us to do this in a way that will be Christ-like. This is Christ-likeness. When He says He wants us to walk worthy, He means He wants us to live, to act, to go, to do, as the Lord Jesus Himself did. 1 John 2 tells us we ought to walk even as He walked. And this is becoming to the gospel. It's worthy of the Lord. It's worthy of God. It will bring honor to Him. What is the Christ-like way? Lowliness and meekness, thinking little of yourself, forbearing one another in love, thinking much of each other. Now we're told in verse 3 that He wants us to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now you can't keep anything you don't have. If you have never been born into the family of God, you don't have eternal life. You don't have the unity of the Spirit because the unity of the Spirit is the unity of life. The unity of life means simply that the Spirit of God has put the life of God in each one of us. And since each of us has the life of God within him, we're joined together in one body. And verses 4, 5, and 6 talk about that one body. This is the collective side of the blessing of God. One body, one Spirit, one hope of our calling. This has to do with the future blessing. One Lord, one faith. The faith means what we believe. The truth of God, one baptism, this is Holy Spirit baptism, of course. The baptism of water is the baptism of an ordinance to show that we have been put into the one body. It doesn't put us in, but the ordinance of baptism is an indication that we have been baptized into one body, a testimony to those about us. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now this allness, this unity that we have is because we are part of this one body. But there's the individual side of it too, because at beginning in verse 7, he tells us now, unto every one of us as individuals is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. The Lord has been very kind to us. He not only has given us eternal life, saved us from hell, given us a home in heaven, given us a part in the family of God and given us His Holy Spirit, but He has also given us gifts. That is, He has given us spiritual ability to live and to please the Lord and to do things for Him. This, we're told, is according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Christ Himself is God's gift to us. All of the blessings that God has are given to us in Christ. Everything is of grace. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The law demanded things of us. Grace gives things to us. And because God has been so gracious in giving us so many things, he tells us now that the Lord Jesus is the great giver and that he has given gifts unto us, verse 8 says. When the Lord Jesus went back up into heaven, he gave gifts unto men. Now this is not native ability, but these are spiritual gifts, the ability to do things for the Lord. Verses 9 and 10 speaks of his ascending, but he first of all descended to the lower parts of the earth. That is, the Lord Jesus went down in death and burial, then he came again in resurrection and went back to the right hand of God in order that he might fulfill, complete all things. The Lord Jesus then is able to be the great giver on the basis of his finished work for us at the cross, his suffering and death, and his triumphant resurrection. Now what has he given? Well, verse 11 tells us that he gave some apostles and some prophets. These are in the foundation of the church and are not needed now. And some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Evangelists are men who have the ability to carry the gospel to new places. Pastors are not men who are hired to do a job, but the word pastor means shepherd. And all elders among the Lord's people ought to be shepherds. And teachers, some have the ability to impart to others the knowledge that they have gained in the study of the Word of God. Now there are other gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, but many of these gifts are sign gifts which were given for the childhood of the church and have no place in the modern times, that is, in our days. They're not needed because now the Word of God is complete. We no longer need signs when we have the complete teaching of the Scriptures. Notice that the perfecting or maturing of the saints is through the gifts that are mentioned in verse 11. And people who are not mature are always looking for something more than God has given us here in these gifts. Now he tells us the reason for these gifts in verse 12. They are for the perfecting or maturing of the saints. It's very wonderful to see a little baby, a small child, but you'd feel very sad if you saw them still immature after 20 years. God wants us to grow up. So he has given these gifts for the maturing of the saints, for or unto the work of the ministry or of serving. This has nothing to do with the ministry as we speak of people preaching, but it means serving God in any way. Now the Lord says that Christians ought to mature so that they can share in the work of serving, and this will lead to the edifying of the body of Christ, the building up of all believers. How long will this continue? Verse 13 tells us, till we all come in or into the unity of the faith. Now we have the unity of the Spirit. In verse 3, we're told to keep this. We do not yet have the unity of the faith. The word in is literally into, as the margin says, till we all come into the unity of the faith. When will we come into the unity of the faith? Why, when we come into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When all of us are exactly like the Lord Jesus in that coming day, then we will have the unity of the faith. Until then, let's be kind to each other. Let's help each other. Let's not allow division to come among us because we don't see things eye to eye. Now he says that ye henceforth be no more children or babies tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. How many Christians there are who are constantly being carried away after this or after that because they're not familiar with the Word of God. But speaking the truth, which of course is the Scripture itself, in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You see, Christ is the head of this body, and you and I are members of this body. And so he says in verse 16, from whom? From Christ. The whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now this means simply that the Lord himself is the head of the body, which is called the church. He is the one who ought to govern each of us as individuals and as a local congregation of Christians. From the head is ministered to each one of the members of the body of Christ all of the things which we need. then we in turn, being fitly joined together by that which every joint supplieth, that is, each of us has a responsibility to be a help to every other Christian. The thing which every joint in my body supplies is a kind of a lubricant that keeps the friction down. And so every Christian, where he meets with another Christian, needs through the joint water of love to keep the friction down between himself and other Christians. And this makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. What he's saying here is that we as Christians are responsible to help build up every other Christian. You say, well, we hire a pastor to do that. Yes, but God's way was not that way at all. God's way was that every Christian should have a share in building up every other Christian with whom he comes in contact. Now, all of this is on the basis of what God has given us in the first three chapters. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, you don't even have eternal life. You're not even a part of the body of Christ. But if you have received Christ, you do have eternal life. The Holy Spirit does indwell you. All of the things that are said to be true of one believer are said to be true of all in the first chapter. We are all blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. Well, then, let's enjoy these things. And let's go on to know more about them. And let's help each other in every way that we can, so that all of the members of the body of Christ will grow up to be useful, and the body of Christ will be built up, and the Lord Jesus will be glorified. Our Father, we pray Thee to bless Thy word to us. We thank Thee for Thy Son. We thank Thee for every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Him. Now we pray that we may walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Save the lost, we pray Thee, and bless Thy dear children in Jesus' name. Amen.